Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, we're going to have a great podcast today. I have a founder of a company. You know, anytime I've got anybody, if you've started anything, I want to hear about it. I don't care if it's a lemonade stand, but I've got something a lot bigger than that. He co-founded Proudmouth. He helps, you know, businesses accelerate their influence. I have Matt Halloran with me here today. Matt, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
All right. I always like to start out with how did you, you know, you founded companies. We're going to talk about Proudmouth, but what made you know you weren't an employee and you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
So I worked for a fiercely entrepreneurial financial services professional, and I was one of his business consultants. And I actually listened to what he said, and I thought to myself, I can do this on my own. So that was in, I think, 2010, 11, 10-ish, that I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go hang my own shingle and let's see what happens. And nobody will ever be able to hire me ever again. So
yeah, no. And obviously that kind of, you know, being in the financial advisor role, that's why you wrote the book, The Social Media Handbook for Financial Advisors. What made you write that book? And what's some of the big takeaways from that book?
Well, so the big takeaway, first off, it was the first book of its kind. So I was a financial services coach and consultant. I actually wasn't an advisor. And I was really, really frustrated that advisors weren't using this amazing tool. And so I ended up writing the book. Bloomberg Finance underwrote the book. And it's still wildly applicable today. Here's the deal, though. I don't know if anybody could get a copy because it didn't sell as many as they wanted. And when you make a deal with a publishing yeah. house, which actually I think you know about that, yeah. then they kind of squashed the book. But it was absolutely fantastic. It launched my entire career and really brought me to where I am today.
So tell me, what does Proudmouth do? You know, obviously you're the co-founder of it. And I know obviously the goal is to accelerate people's influence, but what made you want to start this company? And then how do you help people? And what nuggets can you give my audience that are, you know, they're young, they're starting businesses, they're struggling in regards to having some influence, trying to accelerate it, give them some advice.
Sure. So I'd been following this guy. His name was Kirk Lowe. It still is. And he was like the marketing and branding guru in the space. And all of my clients always were saying, hey, you know what? I just really need to, Matt, you need to give me marketing and branding. And I was like, no, I'm going to refer you. Him and I were in a conference in Arizona, had dinner together, and something just clicked. There's something there. Like, yeah. We're fundamentally different people. Right? He is a behind the scenes, wicked organized, loves planning, that guy. And I'm the not organized, love being out in front of people, shaking hands and kissing babies. So we decided in 16, that we were just going to, we're going to try something together, whatever, let's figure it out. We had no product. We knew the audience and we knew what they needed. So I'll answer your second question is influence marketing is the only marketing you have left. Every good marketing technique now is opt-in. Nobody wants to be sold to. Everybody wants to buy your product. So how do you do that? Well, you have to become influential. We've found that podcasting is the simplest way to do that. And it's something you know a lot about, 400 and some episodes in yourself, yeah. Right? It's a great way for you to build relationships with people when it's convenient for them in their quiet time. And that's how we help it. We help financial services professionals, but we're starting to expand that audience. Really just accelerate their influence so that they can stop being the best kept secret that they feel like they are.
And what do you think the big problem is why people don't, you know, maybe word it a different way. How, if you were just doing a seminar, okay, we had you up on stage for an hour and you were trying to give people, you know, do it yourself advice. What do you find to be the big mistakes that people are making when they're trying to, you know, why they don't have any influence, how they can create some influence?
That's a super loaded question, and I'm going to try to condense this as quickly as possible. So the easiest way for anybody to do it is to realize that they have an area of expertise, embrace that area of expertise, and then start educating people with everything you know. That's the biggest thing that holds everybody back. People are like, well, no, I've got secret sauce. I don't want to share everything. Nope. Internet's there. Everybody can find out anything about anything. So, but they might want to find out about it from you. The best, fastest way for you to accelerate your influence is you have to have a very focused niche or niche, as my Canadian friends say. You have to have it. You have to have it. Narrow. You can't be working with women. this guy who tried to tell me that women were a snitch. I'm like, this is 51% of the population. So super, super, super narrow. And then you learn how to speak their language if you don't already know it. And then you create this kind of undercurrent of raving fans. And then those fans start buying products from you.
Now, it's true, you know, creating a niche will make you rich. Keep constantly niching down. And I know we somehow think the broader the audience, well, that's the more customers I have. And it's just the complete opposite of that right now. You look at the products that are out there, people are niching and niching and niching, you know, from an untucked shirt. You know, you say, well, I just want to sell a shirt that fits everybody. No, we're going to do an untucked, you know, just for men. Okay. And, you know, and typically, you know, it's just a certain buyer that buys that, but people just keep niching down further and further and further. And again, the used to be the broad approach, you know, like Kmart, you know, the bigger, the better.
And look what happened to Kmart, my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, that's the other thing is it's too expensive to market to everybody. That's the problem, right? We have such small marketing budgets within any organization, an entrepreneurial company, or even a large company, that it's really ridiculous to try to advertise to everybody. When you're able to get those numbers, and I used to talk about this in my book, on Facebook, if you could get between 7,000 and 10,000 ideal people through your, you know, narrowing and narrowing of that funnel in the psychographics and demographics, you can spend and nail that 10,000 people over and over again. Very few of us need 10,000 new clients. Most of us can't handle it. Let's get 1%. Yeah, all right, that's a good year, dude.
Exactly. How do you help my audience with niching down? Mm-hmm. So give them a kind of a little bit on how you do this, what it is. I know some questions. I know the answers to these, but if my audience doesn't know, it's a moot point.
Right. The best way to find a niche is to figure out what makes you you. So one of the things that we say at Proud Moth all the time is you might as well be yourself because everyone else is taken, which of course is an Oscar Wilde quote. But the other piece of it is there isn't another one of you. So what makes you fundamentally unique and different? I started doing radio at 13. My high school had a radio station. I always wanted to be behind the microphone, but it's really hard to get a job behind the microphone, right? So what did I do? Well, I ended up creating a company, co-founding a company that was all about me being behind the microphone. And then we said, okay, so here's the product that we have. Now we have to narrow it down. Our natural market was financial services professionals because Kirk and I had both been working in this industry for a very long time. But it's way deeper than that, right? So financial services professionals, there's 400,000 of those licensed people in the United States. That includes insurance people. We don't focus on them. We focus on people who are an RIA, who've been in business for 15 years, who make over $500,000 a year in gross dealer concessions, who spend 7 to 14% of their gross not net on marketing. That's pretty niche, dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, you definitely have qualified the.
But that's the thing. You used a great word. See, people think niche is this weird nebulous thing. No, all I did was qualify my ideal client. That's what a great niche is. It's the qualification and the targeting of that by using appropriate messaging and thought leadership. That's where everything starts firing on all cylinders. And you're really driving a race car at that point.
Yeah. When you know the language of your target customer and it's a finite group, you know their spending habits, you know the language that they're speaking. There's a massive language difference in a broad group of customers. Okay. The way that you talk to a customer that spends this much and the way, example, you know, like going to buy a car would be an example. Some people go to buy a car at a certain thing and they're trying to get this greatest deal humanly possible. You know, they're walking, they're going to beat the guy up on price. I walk in, I know the car I want in under 2 minutes. Yeah. I know exactly what I'm willing to pay. I don't even test drive it. I walk in, I go, this is the number. Call me by the end of the day. Don't call me tomorrow because tomorrow I won't be interested in it, but I'm interested in it today. And if this is right, but they know the knit and you know, they can piece it together. Okay, this guy can afford this. And this is the language that he speaks. Like, we're not going to haggle. If we can do it for this, it's a done deal. Where, you know, but that's different. If a guy comes to me and he's like, hey, why don't we pull up the hood and why don't we go take it for a drive? You lost me.
Yep.
You lost me and under man. I have never lifted up the hood on a car. Couldn't tell you what's underneath of it. I don't want to get in the car and take a ride with you.
Yep.
I know a Mercedes AMG is probably going to drive pretty nice. Just crossing my mind. I got this feeling that it's going to be, but it's true. But if you come and want to do that 1 hour, won't you come in and meet the manager and see what we can do for you? Don't want to meet your manager. I'm a different buyer.
Right. But you're the normal buyer now. So let's break that down just a little bit more, because this is super important. You had to go somewhere to do the research on that Mercedes AMG. Where are you going to go? Well, Mercedes knows that you're probably going to watch a few videos, read a blog, maybe go ahead and, you know, check out some other, what we refer to as social proof, right? Content marketing is the only marketing left. Seth Godin said that, right? That's just the reality of the world that we live in. You did your research. Dude, it's so funny that you say that. I just posted something on LinkedIn very recently about when I buy a car. I know exactly. They have the car on the lot. I'm not going in there. I'll give them a number and I'll say, this is what you're going to give this to me at, right? And if you do this, this is the easiest sale you've ever had. I drive four trucks.
Yeah.
I've had many. And so I walked in, sat down with this guy, gave him the thing, and he goes, okay, I'll be right back. He walked in, manager, they like jumped up and down. Yeah. He came back out and he's like, all right, here's the keys. You ready to go? I'm ready to go. That's the sort of stuff. We are educated consumers. And if you don't give me the opportunity to be educated on your product, I'm not going to buy your product.
Yeah, no, it has changed. We don't really want to sit down and do the dog and pony show and you take me through the brochures and that. You know, the buyers are so, so very different today. And you're right. You know, if you can, you got to speak the language to a finite audience and whatever that audience is, because you can't be at our business. We literally are trying to eliminate 1/3 of every single person reaching out to us in the very first email and or phone call back.
Amen, brother.
Just 1/3. We're trying to politely eliminate them because we know that our products and our services would be outside of the price range they'd feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And we just know that. So if you're listening to this podcast, man, I have Matt Halloran with me today. What we're talking about is, you know, how you can accelerate your influence. And what you want to do is, this is what you think you want to do. You want to influence everybody and you can. Or you're seeing a few of the, you know, I was saying this the other day to my son, like we'll see a few people online and maybe it's, you know, a Gary Vee, a Grant Cardone. And I try to tell people this, I'm going to give you some math here. Sometimes people hit something at the perfect time. Their voice, the time, the world aligns perfectly. I mean, Google was like the 13th search engine. Okay, it's not always he who is first, you know, wins. But at the time their voice hits and we all think we're going to be one of them. And I say, if you took pennies and you lined them up from Miami all the way to Seattle, Washington, and you had to grab 4 pennies out of there, that would be the odds of you recreating what these guys have. So you're better off just being yourself and having an audience that listens to you, values you, and whatever size that grows to, it grows to, but they're going to be listening to you. But I think sometimes we, you know, we're going to wake up and, you know, have this, you know, million people following us. No, your niche may not be a million people niche. You may not have that personality or that charisma or that timing. Sometimes luck does play a part, people. It really does. I mean, I generally think luck follows talent and persistence, but mm-hmm. but there are certain things that we do where the timing was just so right. You know, and sometimes we do it and it falls on deaf ears. It was the same voice, maybe even a more talented person, but mm-hmm. it was just the wrong time. So I think it is so important, you know, as you're trying to be an influencer, it's harder than you think. So you might as well find this, as you say, this really niche audience and be just the valuable person that they want to hear when it comes to that subject matter. So what other things can you give to my audience regarding how they can be better at influencing?
Well, give it all away. I'm going to say that again, because, you know, people are going to remember about 25% of what either of us say. Give it all away. Whatever you do, let's say you run an HVAC company, tell everybody everything about it. The tools that you use, the time it takes, all of the software you had to buy. Be fully transparent. People love that level of transparency, that behind the curtain sort of thing, Wizard of Oz there. Blech, nobody wants it anymore. Cause here's the deal. I can see behind the curtain, dude. I can go on the internet and literally Google HVAC and find out everything you ever want to know. So be fully, fully transparent. But most importantly, you got to be yourself. Authentic marketing is the key to all success. If you look at those people who are influencers, they're themselves. They're not pretending to be anybody else because, well, that's not how you create a loyal fan base. And I'm using these terms in business, businesses have loyal fan bases. You can tap that and create that. You can use that luck, but build it by design. Sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not. We're entrepreneurs, dude. How many businesses have you started up that have failed? A bunch for me.
Yeah, I've got a few.
Yeah. Step up to the plate and let's go. The other thing very quickly is, yes, I can't market to 1 million people, but I can market to 10,000. How many of those people do you need to land as a client to live a successful entrepreneurial lifestyle? That's how you figure out your pricing. This is, it all starts coming together when you really look at it from this niche focus, this pre-qual focus. When that happens, it's a game changer.
No, that is so true. We make things awfully complicated. Listen, what I have Matt Halloran with me here. He's the co-founder of Proudmouth. He helps people accelerate their influence. Matt, it's so great to have you on the podcast today for kind of giving us a little cheat sheet behind it, because I think sometimes people look at, again, the few that I mentioned, and that's kind of like the standard. I'm like, okay, let's say I like playing golf, which I really do. I'm not going to be hitting the ball ever like Tiger Woods. It's never going to happen. In this lifetime, if I can go out and play a really nice round of golf where I enjoy it, have fun with my friends, that's it. And sometimes we have, you know, we gotta be realistic in what we're trying to accomplish. And I'm an extraordinarily ambitious person, but I know when it regards to influencing, I love the idea of niching down, having your own voice, giving it all away. You know, that's just some valuable stuff. Matt, how can my audience connect with you?
Following me on LinkedIn is the best way. I pretty much live there. So if you just literally type in Matt Halloran, I am the first person who comes up because I'm on there all the time.
All right. Again, we had Matt Halloran with us today. He is the co-founder of Proudmouth. Audience, thank you so much for listening. The podcast brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. We constantly try to bring some entrepreneurs on our show that can help us out. Hey, you know, one thing I didn't ask you, Matt, and I should have closed with this. What's the one, you know, you've started some companies here. What's the one piece of advice that you would share with my audience, that entrepreneur, like, you wish you would have known when you first started this, starting these companies?
It never happens on your timeline. Man, I wish somebody would have told me that, dude, because I'm a terribly impatient person. And I was like, oh, I've got this great idea. Everybody's going to want it. Nope. Man, you got to grind this out. And what I mean by that is, look, have a primary job. Like, have a job that pays your bills and then start a business, right?
I love that.
I wish somebody would have told me that.
I love that. I tell, my one thing is, never quit your job to start a business. Never. Because people can smell broke. It is. It's an aftershave. They'll smell it. Again, this is Sean Castorina. I was wrapping up and then I forgot to have asked that question. And that's an important question. He's so right. Things are not going to happen on the timeline that you'd like. You're going to be grinding it out. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We will talk again soon.